Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Jay Posner, my boss. Jay, you said it today. Jay, I hadn't done the math, but 42.6% of the season is left. We call it the second half. It's one of the beauties of baseball, right? It's the second half.
You know, the tweet originally said that the Padres have played 57% of their season by MLB math. It's time for the second half. But I ran out of characters and all that stuff. So anyway, but it's true. They have played more than 57% of their season, but the second half begins later today. You are in Washington, D.C., where it is the usual 90-plus degrees, and I think there's a good chance of rain, not tonight, but maybe the next couple of days. So, hey, maybe some more rain delays for you.
I want to make an obscene gesture at you, but I will not. The Padres have had quite a bit of rain, and I think there's rain in the forecast here. There's rain in the forecast in Atlanta. There's rain in the forecast in Miami, but that roof closes, so we're all good there. Really looking forward to that. Guaranteed four games. Padres open up the second half with Chris Paddock going against Eric Fetty. There's a few rematches here. You got not the pitchers against each other, but the you know, respective offenses will be facing pitchers that they've seen. I'll write about that today. It's called a semi-repeater, where a team plays the same team twice in three series. And the Padres have a major league high 9 of those. I don't know if you've noticed that, Jay, where they play a team, play another team, and then play that first team again. Anyway, so Eric Fetty, Patrick Corbin, and Max Scherzer are the pitchers that the Padres will see. And they saw all three of them last week to varying degrees of success. The Padres, presumably after Paddock, there's no reason to believe not. My understanding is that Blake Snell will start tomorrow and Joe Musgrove on Sunday. So a lot of questions, and they start with the starting rotation. And there's like little offshoots that we can go all over. We could do a full 20 minutes on the starting rotation. Where do you want to start, Jay?
Let's start with the starting rotation. As you mentioned in your story that was online yesterday and in the paper today, this was supposed to be a fantastic starting rotation, and right now it's not. At times it has been. It's been victimized somewhat by injuries, but it's been victimized more, I think, by sort of disappointing performance. Start at the top, Yu Darvish, very good for most of the first half, struggled a little bit at the end, and obviously having some injury issues. So, you know, it's easy enough to say it was because he wasn't quite right, and we'll see how he comes back. He is supposed to pitch in Atlanta, or at least he's eligible to come off the injured list when the Padres go to Atlanta next week. So that'll be the first indication of, I guess, maybe how serious this is. If he pitches there and he pitches well, then we can say, okay, everything's okay. Blake Snell, we've talked about many times, written about many times, has not been what the Padres thought they were going to get for the most part. Has certainly had his moments, but has not been able to pitch usually more than, what, 4 or 5 innings, it seems like. You know, most of the time struggled with command, that sort of thing. We'll see how this little break served him. Joe Musgrove has been pretty good, but recently has struggled with the bad inning here and there. I think if you looked at his numbers overall, they're pretty good. Chris Paddock, I feel like we've written and talked about Chris Paddock for 2 years, sort of the same thing. He's got to get back to what he did in 2019. It sounds like every time he talks about it, he knows what he has to do. But like many of us in many parts of our lives, it's easy to say we're going to do something, not as easy to do it. The Padres need – Paddock's been the guy that's been able to be out there, but one of the guys that's been able to be out there every single time. Mm-hmm. I guess he missed what? One start, two starts?
You could call it two, I guess, and then
– I don't know, but – for the most part, he's been out there. He's been available. Hasn't always been good, but it's not been as bad as sometimes people want to make him out to be. You know, Adrian Morejon got hurt. Don't have him. Denelson Lamet, have not had a lot of him. Don't really, in my view, can't really count on him much in the second half at all. Yeah. And Ryan Weathers, you know, had been pretty good. And, you know, just, gosh, it just really hurt to watch that on Sunday. First of all, you never want to see anybody get hurt. But that was such an avoidable situation. It just made it worse. He didn't have to do what he did. Could have just caught the ball, tossed it over to first base, you know, everything would have been fine. Instead, he has this freak injury. No idea how long he's going to be out, but I certainly wouldn't expect to see him, what do you think, a month?
Well, yeah. AJ Preller was on the radio today and said that it was a heel bruise, getting many different things about what it is, and that, you know, he could be back in a week or so. Let's not roll our eyes, Jay. The one person that I talked to about it over the All-Star break was talking about August, perhaps. So,
okay.
So there we go. Right. We'll see. Hey, the guy, if he's out of his, you know, there's all these things you want to read into, signs, right? The guy's walking around well. Okay, well, with a heel bruise or an Achilles, you can. There's. Let's not read too much into this until right. we start seeing this guy do bullpens. And then how long is he out? You know, Nelson Lamet's going to have to go on a rehab. How long will Ryan Weathers be out? Is he going to have to go on a rehab? Right. There are just so many questions, and we all want the answers to them right now. You talk about freak, Jay. So the game sped up for Ryan Weathers in that moment. It does for mm-hmm. every player sometimes. Well, the play wouldn't have even had to happen if on the play before, Fernando Tatis Jr. had played a little faster. Remember, that right. was the double pump.
I do.
Where and I defended double- him in the moment by saying, yeah. You know what? Yes, that was on Fernando Tatis Jr. infield single. He held the ball too long, but he was trying to slow the game down when he's been going too fast. And I said, yeah. I bet you Bobby Dickerson's okay with that. They'll talk about it. Like, yeah. you got to get rid of that ball, but he slowed it down. But the fact is, that guy's on first base. There's a sacrifice bunt by the pitcher. And then the game gets too fast for Ryan Weathers. And, man, what an unfortunate turn of events. I don't care, Padre fan or not, you don't want to see a player get hurt, and especially a guy. I mean, Ryan Weathers was pitching really well that mm-hmm. time. I think we've given Ryan Weathers a lot of credit just for the jump he's made, because he really has been okay. But, man, the last two starts, the efficiency of this kid, I was like, hey, my game story today is going to be about Ryan Weathers' best start right. ever, and then done.
Did you see me roll my eyes when you said infield single?
I'm an eye roller, so I saw that, yes.
On that Tatis ball. Yeah. I don't get how you get a single when you hit a ground ball to shortstop and the shortstop double pumps. It's the whole rule, which someone kept telling me on Twitter until I muted him, kept telling me routine plays. That's a routine play. And Tatis Tatis didn't make it because he double pumped. It should have been an error. It wasn't. It's in the big picture, it's irrelevant, but it did, as you said, it did come back to haunt the Padres in a big way, because the next play doesn't have to happen in a couple different ways. But anyway, we can move beyond that. I guess the next question is, who else is starting now for this team?
Right.
Who's your fifth guy?
Wait a minute. Who's my fourth guy? Because Yu Darvish might not come back Monday for his turn, right? So
I'm saying Darvish. If Darvish pitches,
right.
If who's your next guy?
You know, in the immediate sense, Russ Kinnear pitched last night in El Paso. I suppose he could come back and make a start on Tuesday. Denelson Lamet's got to go on a rehab assignment. Ryan Weathers won't be ready. Miguel Diaz, is he going to give you a 3-inning start?
Right.
You know, is it going to be Norwood? You got to patch it together. The Padres are looking for starting pitching, all right? Is it going to be someone they get in a big trade with the Cubs, in a big trade with the Rangers? Look, that's AJ Preller's not on this trip. I thought he might be to want to, you know, see the guys in person, but I think he's aware of what he needs to do. So he's going to be there in San Diego, I guess, where he's got a landline in addition to the cell phone, so he can do all sorts of calls. And, you know, that's what they – are they going to get a starting pitcher by Tuesday? I don't know.
Right. And as you said, Kinnear, they could always bring Kinnear back. Or if they don't want to bring somebody back, Diaz is another guy. But again, how long do you want to go, you know, with those guys as your fifth starter? Although at times, I mean, well, Kinnear only had the one game. And at times, Miguel Diaz has looked pretty good. But it taxes your bullpen in two ways. One, he's a good long guy in the bullpen that can come in and give you two, three innings. But as a starter, he's also a guy that's only going to give you, you know, 3 innings or so, and now you're into the bullpen a different way. So
now, Chris Mann, I don't want to overlook that. He's been a big contributor, not great, but a really important contributor. He can maybe give you 4 or 5 at the start, depending on how he pitches, right?
Yeah.
So Miguel Diaz, man, here's the problem. I don't know that Miguel Diaz will get better until his knees get better, because evidently that's the reality, is that, like, he's figured out mechanically what he needs to do, but he can't repeat it because sometimes he goes out there and his knees are bothering him. He's had two major knee surgeries. So, like, you don't know what you're going to get there. One inning, two, three?
Sure.
What? Even if you got three, like all the points you just made, Jay, I guess I'm just kind of getting into how, like, in a bad way, no matter what AJ says, they need to get pitching.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say, and I don't think they should go all out to get some great pitcher and give up a lot of prospects or anything like that. I don't think that's what this team needs to do at this point and for the long run. And I know everybody wants to win a title now and all that stuff. And I think, you know, if they can put themselves in a better position to win a title this year, then that's great. But to me, this is a longer term situation, and you don't want to go too far into giving up all your best prospects for these, you know, to make a Mike Clevenger. You know, they did this with Clevenger. They made a big deal for Clevenger and he got hurt. They made deals for Snell and Musgrove and Darvish. That's four pitchers they've already traded for. That's almost a rotation right there. So maybe Cole Hamels is the answer. I don't know. I mean, he was decent at times in 19, you know, coming off an injury. I guess there's supposed to be a workout today. Mm-hmm. They won't be the only team interested in him. Maybe Cole Hamels has always wanted to pitch it for his hometown team. I don't know. But that's certainly an option that's worth exploring. I don't know what he has. I don't know what he has left, but it certainly doesn't cost anything to go to a workout.
If he's healthy, the Braves gave him $18 million last year. They got three innings. And so they didn't give him with the prorated season and all that. I don't know what they paid him. $6 million, but they got three innings out of him. Right. So if he's healthy, my understanding is he would like to pitch for his hometown team. So there you go.
And it shouldn't cost that much. I mean, obviously you're looking at a deal for the rest of the year, even if you have to guarantee him a little bit for next year. Cole Hamels has made a ton of money. I can't imagine at this point in his career that it's all about money. I would think there's other factors that would be involved, you know, winning, as you said, pitching for at home. I don't know what his family situation is and how much family he still has here or any of that kind of stuff. But I would think that the Padres would seem to be in a favorable position, well-positioned, as the great Jerry McGee used to say, to make a good run at Cole Hamels if he's worth making a run out here.
And you make a great point, because it's a valid point. And while you weigh everything that you are hearing from anybody, even trusted sources at this time of year, you just weigh it against the fact that it is this time of year. But the Padres, like, I don't buy when AJ Preller comes and says on the record, or even whatever, you're just in conversation with him, that we're going to look within, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. You're going to look within and then you're going to look without. But I do buy that this team is in it for the long haul. And so what I'm understanding is they're not going to go all out. They're not going to get Max Scherzer. Now, I never rule anything out with AJ Preller, but the fact is this is a multi-year situation. They did invest a lot. I still think their focus is like a Cole Hamels, a Danny Duffy, a John Gray, who can start for you in the playoffs, but is really help get you there. And then the belief and there's reason to believe, the belief and the hope is that Darvish, Snell, Musgrove, and whoever else by the end of the season are your 1-2-3 starters for your playoff series. And the Padres, by the way, would just love to get actually a playoff series instead of a wild card, but that's something we can address as we get closer. But that's something that's also hanging over the second half. They start six games back with the Dodgers between them and the Giants. The Dodgers presumably will also be buyers. They got some serious pitching issues.
Sure,
So,
and six games is a favorable way of looking at it. They are eight games back in the all, and we'll put this in quotes, the all-important loss column, and eight games with only about 70 to play. So the Giants are 57 and 32, so they've played 89 games. The Padres have played 93. I don't know. We've said all along the Giants can't keep this up, and I want to keep saying that they're not going to be there. If you asked me to make a prediction right now, I still would say the Dodgers are going to win the division. But I think, you know, you could come down to a Giants-Padres game on October. I mean, they play that last series in the beginning of the first weekend in October to end the season. Who knows? Maybe that series is for home field advantage in the playoff game. And that brings up that'll bring up a whole other issue, which is how hard do you go after home field advantage, or do you make sure you have your number one pitcher ready no matter where you're playing? But there's a lot of time to address that. But, you know, we could be seeing, you know, Yu Darvish against Kevin Gausman on October 5th or 6th, whatever date the NL wildcard game is. So it could be, again, just fascinating stuff as we go forward. I just think the Padres have a real uphill climb to try to win this division to make up that kind of ground. It's not that they can't do it.
They would have it,
but they haven't, and they haven't shown so far that they're capable, with the exception of, you know, over these last 40, we've talked about, what are they, 19 and 21 over the last 40 games, which includes an 11-1 stretch. That's the only, that 11-1 stretch is the only time in the last, I don't know, 7 weeks or so that they've shown that they can, you know, put together an extended run. And we've talked about the favorable schedule here. You know, again, this weekend, next 2 days, they're facing Patrick Corbin and Max Scherzer. So, yeah, the Nationals aren't a great team. Those guys are pretty good pitchers.
And Max Scherzer
Unless Daniel Camarena, you know, can get in. Jace Tingler, a lot of pressure on Sunday to get Daniel Camarena into that right. You know, you want to get your pinch hitters into the right position. So got to make sure that Camarena is ready for Sunday's game and everything. So I look forward to you talking to him, hopefully talking to him in the next couple of days and ask him if he's ready to you know, it's one thing to do it once, hit a grand slam off Max Scherzer. Are you ready to repeat that, Daniel? We want to know.
We've talked a lot. We've been sort of, I don't want to say negative, we've been realistic here at the outset. The reality is the Padres are hitting better. Their yes. bullpen has still been they're overworked, and I think it's showing up in some areas. Some of the pitchers' command hasn't been as good. But they were outscored 6-1 the last 2 days against the Rockies. They pitched well enough to win, especially with their starters not being great. They lead the majors in OPS since June 16th as a team. So they've won 53 games. They're a good team that is underachieving, I believe. And I don't think they would argue with that at all.
Yeah, and I would say not like horribly underachieving.
Right.
Like, you know, but I think they have definitely underachieved to the tune of, I don't know, 3-4 games maybe.
If you want to
pick a number. But 3-4 games could be pretty big. I mean, when we just talked about what is facing them. So I think, yes, there are a lot of positives about this team that we've seen so far and going forward. I mean, that Fernando Tatis is, I guess, right now the favorite for the MVP, especially, you know, Acuna was one of the top guys and had that horrible injury that we're not going to see him. But, you know, Tatis is in position to be the MVP. Manny Machado is in position to make a run at MVP again, the way that he's been going. I think, doesn't he lead the league in OPS over the last, several weeks?
3 weeks.
3 weeks. He's been outstanding. Jake Cronenworth, another guy that, you know, he's not going to be the MVP, but I thought it was funny in the All-Star game that he ended up playing first base.
I know.
You know, he's elected. That was great by Dave Roberts and the staff to get him in there at first base. So you've got those guys that have all been a positive. I think Trent Grisham, with the exception of the one stretch after he came back from his injury, has been very good. Tommy Pham, for the most part, over the past couple months, has been what we thought Tommy Pham would be. I think a lot of this comes down to the behind the plate. When do we see Austin Nola? How good can he be? How much offense can they get out of that position? And then the two guys we've talked about a lot, Eric Hosmer, who was terrible in June, but has been really good the first half in the first, 12 games or so since in July, OPS over 900. And, you know, it's funny. Someone tweeted me the other day that, I don't know if it was Jesse Agler or Tony Gwynn, had said on the radio that you know, Eric Hosmer is taking a hot bat into the All-Star break, and they hope that didn't ruin it. And I think the guy was kind of saying, like, you know, yeah, sure, he's got a hot bat, but he did have a hot bat.
If he were to continue
period of time.
If he were to continue through July like this, he would be at his season averages, or his career averages, I should say.
Right.
Look, he's got his average up to like 266 now. It's like top 20 in the National League. His on-base percentage, I mean, look, he's getting ground ball singles or doubles or striking out grounding out. That's what he's doing.
I mean, he was awful in June. He was not awful before June, and he has not been awful in July. So there is that. And Will Myers is, you know, he's Will Myers. You know, there were times where Will Myers could carry this team.
And there have been a few games that he has. I wouldn't say a few stretches, but a few games. And his numbers are getting back up, you know, drawing his walks and getting, you know, some doubles and a little bit of pop. But, yeah, again, that's your 6-7 hole, right? If Grisham and Nola come back, and if those guys, Hosmer and Myers, are about what they have been for much of the season, and they're batting 6-7, and because the other guys are, you know, justifiably a fourth and fifth, then that seems like it would be a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, you know? No, it should. It seems like it should be. It doesn't seem likely that offense is going to be a problem. I mean, that's where we get to the whole underachieving thing, because the offense was a problem for certain times, but you look at it and it's like, you know, the overall numbers are decent. The power is the area, I guess, where you're down. You know, you're still down somewhat. Run prevention has been pretty good. I mean, the defense has struggled at times, but it seems like most of that is Tatis. The errors, you know, have piled up for Tatis, but certainly not as many recently as he had before. So I don't know. I think this is still a pretty good team that has not played as well as I think everybody expected. And what are we going to see over the next 2.5 months? That's a really good question. And a lot of it's going to depend on the health of the starting pitchers and the addition of at least one starting pitcher. What do you think?
Yes, without a doubt. And I don't want to make too big a deal of the trade deadline, because we make too big a deal of the trade deadline. Now, that said, AJ Preller has a history of doing things, especially since they've become buyers, right, last year. So, you know, we could be talking about maybe the Padres unloading one of their money guys in order to take on someone else's money and get a player they think is going to be better. I mean, there's been a whole bunch of things I've heard that AJ Preller has been working on and whatever. So this team could look very different. But I don't want to make too big out of the trade deadline because of all the things we've talked about. The guys that are here are pretty much going to be the team, and they've got to do better consistently. I mean, I'm not going to say this is too much of a generalization, but like the Giants pitching has carried them because like they've been good, and then their offense has scored enough. And the Dodgers, when they only score, you know, two runs, well, then their pitching only allows one run. It's like the Padres have not been able to put it together enough. Yeah. And it's only four or five games I'm talking about, but it's the four or five games that you talked about, Jay. Like if they've given away four or five games, well, gosh, if they would have scored two more runs in four or five games back when they were struggling, if their starting pitching had not imploded the last 3 weeks, would that have been worth two or three games?
Right. So, and then there's games. I mean, look, the Max Scherzer Daniel Camarena game was a lot of fun. That's not a game the Padres should win. You know, when you're down 8-0,
but they got a few.
You know, as someone you used to cover quite regularly used to say, you are what your record says you are. And that's the case for the Padres right now.
It is. And look, the deal is that it's about where we thought they would be, really. I mean, 53 wins by the maybe 55. I don't know.
Yeah.
The X factor is the Giants. It's making it seem like a lot worse.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Giants have sort of – it's been like the Rockies that one year when they rallied to beat the Padres, where they all of a sudden, you know, the Padres didn't play all that great, got down the stretch that year. But if it hadn't been for the Rockies winning literally every single night but one over the past 3 weeks of that season, the Padres still would have been okay. So anyway, those are all issues going forward. This is a big road trip, I think, and not because not big in the sense that the season's riding on it, but big in the sense that it's 10 straight games, no days off, traveling, humidity, all that kind of stuff, at least for the first week. And the best part for the Padres is, and let's face it, for you, is after this trip, they go east of Denver one more time the rest of the season. They have one weekend in St. Louis in September, and that is it. Every other trip is in the Pacific time zone or Denver.
One trip to Denver. So every other.
Oh, that's right. One trip to
the Pacific time zone.
Right. One trip to Denver, one trip to St. Louis.
Lots of days off. I mean, there just aren't these runs. It's really been incredible. And so they've played one more game than like three teams, two more games than like a couple other teams, three, four, five, six, seven more games than a lot of other teams. Now, what is the difference between three or four more games? Well, that's three or four more off days. I mean, the Padres have had with some really tough trips in there. So the Padres have had a rough first half. All of this is valid. They have to step up and take advantage of an easier schedule in two ways, travel and teams, and they've got to supplement the starting pitching. And I think that we're talking about a playoff team. It's a matter of where they play in that first playoff game.
Right. So. And who are they facing? I mean, one thing you're doing if you're the Padres is you're rooting like crazy for the Mets to win the division, so because you don't want to see Jacob DeGrom in that game. And I think you don't want to see Washington either. But I really think that the three teams in the NL West, I mean, as much as we've talked about the Giants, I'm not sure they can fall apart enough to get passed by anybody else. So I really think if the Padres are going to be in the wild card game, they're probably going to play one of the other California teams.
I'll say this
in that game.
If the Padres don't pick it up a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like Luis Castillo is going to start having better luck if the Reds keep hitting like they are. The Reds are getting consistent, you know, 5-6 innings from their pitchers. If they can keep hitting, they've got two really good players. They've got Joey Votto. I don't even count him as one of the two really good players.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of ifs, right? Like I'm talking like a Reds fan here. But I think the Reds are a team that are primed to give whoever that second wildcard team is, they're primed to give them a run. So, but this is a big one. They need to squash the Nationals' hopes right now.
and I also think that the Reds, if I remember correctly from looking yesterday, are only two games behind the Padres in the loss column.
In the loss column, right.
Right. So that's that. The Padres don't have a huge cushion going forward. So yeah, we keep looking forward, and we're doing the Satchel Paige. We're not looking behind us because someone might be gaining, and it looks like the Reds are that someone at this point.
So. Yeah, I just think they're a formidable contender for now, and I think they're going to try, and maybe the next 10 days will be important for them in terms, because they have some pieces that they could, you know, also sell off to build themselves for the future too. So
sure.
I think they're
sure.
one of those teams like the Braves that like the next 2 weeks before the deadline are big for them. But, you know, wanted to mention them because I do think that because I'm going to look pretty smart when they overtake somebody. All right, everybody, we got the Nationals this weekend, and then we will talk to you Monday. I'll be in Atlanta, God willing. You know, my flight luck has not been good this year, but I'll be in Atlanta. And Jay,
I'll be right here in San Diego, Kevin.
Thanks, everybody.